Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another Ask for Football Army Football Show, or Ask for Lax, whichever you want to call it. We're going to talk about the spring game. We're going to talk about all the spring sports and all the crazy happenings going on around West Point. And guess what? We have a full crew here today. So I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Omar the Burger Proper calling to you out of Oklahoma. We got Dano in Coastal Connecticut, and James in Brigade Review. He's at his home, so I'm assuming that he's not in the back of his cockpit, but we will kick into the show there. Spring football is coming, Crawd. Lacrosse season is headed into the postseason. Army baseball looks great as a number one seed in the Patriot League tournament series, and we have had a pretty solid month as Army sports fans. However, before we get into the show, we got to pay some bills. So if you've listened to this show at all, we know that we have a sponsor here by the name of Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her career in Army career in logistics there. She discovered a passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has decided to support us for football again this season, and she's the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. She also has an extended network of veteran realtors, both former military and realtors that have been working for a while, i.e. veterans, who will support you if you're moving anywhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. So even if you're not moving to the mothership specifically, you should reach out to Jocelyn. She makes recommendations, and she'll get you hooked up with the realtor that you can trust. And again, that's ultimately what this is all about, is utilizing the West Point network to get you a nice place to land. And speaking of having a nice place to land, there's a lot of things to talk about in landing with Army sports. So over to you, Dano, for the spring sports update. Thanks.
Yeah. So, well, let's start with the spring football game, which was this past Friday. I attended. Lynn also attended. It is her daughter's 16th birthday, so she is celebrating that, and she's not here with us. But the spring game was fun. I met Terry while I was there. I was on my way home from a business trip in Albany. Like I said, Lynn took a bunch of pictures. Those are up on Patreon. They're awesome. I dropped a lot of thoughts on this on Twitter, and then kind of an extended look on Patreon. But if you missed both of those things, the starting offense looked great. They had Cale Helms in a red no contact jersey, as well as the number two quarterback, who is Bryson Luter right now, also in a no contact jersey. It was crazy watching Helms manage the offense essentially without carrying the ball, but God's power looked great. They fed him a lot. They also made a point to get the ball to Samari Howard and Lloyd Benson, who looks like he's going to start at slot opposite Howard. They ran one stretch to Lloyd Benson, which was awesome, and I know Omar will be fired up. Howard had several touches. I don't think he caught a pass. I think those were all actually handoffs, not even pitches. So that was cool. Didn't look like they ran a lot of option, just a lot of called not quarterback runs. So I liked seeing that. I got to be honest, the backup offenses looked a little rough. Former number three quarterback Zach Mundell has moved to the slot, which is good because he's a very athletic guy, but was probably not going to push for time under center. So that means that they've now got two plebe / rising yearling quarterbacks at the number two and number three respectively. And as I said, Bryson Luter is the number two. He's 5'11", 206, pretty decent size for an Army quarterback. And then you've got Harrison Orr, 6'1", 216, who looks like the current number three. And then Ethan Washington was like walking around on the sidelines, but I guess he's not cleared to play. So not sure what that's going to look like for the coming season. Before we go on, you guys got anything? You guys want to talk about that?
Yeah, I'll chime in real quick. So the biggest thing is, you know, it's nice to see the offense kind of gelling in the spring game. But as we all know, in the spring game, that's usually a tease for things that will not happen during the season. You'll see a lot of actions. At least it wasn't the air raid as we typically see. Like usually social medias are blown up with all the pass plays. So I think it's focusing in on player development is important, particularly if you have, you know, young backups. You know, I think that's one of the things that as Army fans, we forget that it is a developmental system. So guys have to get those sets and reps in before they take over starting positions. I mean, you know, everybody raved about Bryson Daly, but why? Because he had grown up in the program. He played 4 years at Army. You know, it wasn't like he was a guy coming in off the bench or something like that. So I think that's a good sign to see the younger guys getting reps. But the other part of it is usually that first fall practice is where things kind of shake out. Defense is usually typically ahead, but, you know, later on the outline, so I don't want to steal thunder from the mailbag, but I think we do have some question marks on the defensive side of the ball this season.
So one thing I will say is that a lot of times when they put in these younger quarterbacks, they'll intentionally run sets that the younger quarterbacks are more comfortable with. That is not what they did this time. They played Army football with both Bryson Luter and Harrison Orr. They had those guys running the triple, not running some kind of crazy drop back, throw it all over the place, which is probably good that those guys were comfortable enough doing it. I will say both guys put it on the ground, trying to either do handoffs or fake handoffs. So, you know, more work is needed there. Man, Harrison Orr, he is electric. Both good and bad. He made several just game-breaking plays, but he also put the ball on the ground two or three times. I wrote in my write-up on Patreon, it's like watching Nuke from the movie Bull Durham. I mean, 95-mile-an-hour fastball, which is awesome as long as he doesn't hit the bull mascot. I mean, and that's not a knock. I mean, you know, the guy's a plebe. He's got plenty of time to mature in the system, as you just said, but yo, he needs to like calm down and make the plays and stop trying to have an out of body experience, because he really has a lot of potential. I mean, a lot. He reminded me a lot of Ahmad Bradshaw at this stage in his career, which if you guys remember 2015, Bradshaw put the ball on the ground a lot. I mean, a lot in 2015, but once he got a handle on it, you know, best quarterback we'd had in a long time. So that's kind of where we are. One more thing to mention, James Wagenseller was probably the MVP of the spring game, which is, you know, for good, for better or worse, as your punter being the MVP. But he put two punts inside the 5 yard line, two, and threw a fake pass or threw the pass on a fake for a first down. He kicked one inside the 5 yard line under pressure. Like, it was one of the most amazing plays I've ever seen from a punter, honestly. So weird to be excited about a punter, but I mean, God, the guy really showed out. I will say, by midway through the second quarter, we were watching Pleeps fight for space on the scout team. I mean, it's cool to see my friends out there, see Terry and hang out with some of the Army football dads, but it was not a serious barometer of where the team is right now. I mean, Brady Small didn't even play. He was in shorts.
Yeah, that's interesting. Plus, I shot a quick note over to Joe from College Football Roundtable, and Trigger Joe basically was like, yeah, it's just a glorified practice. In the Big Ten now, you know, guys are running around in, you know, shoulder pads and shorts, and it's basically no contact. And I guess, you know, the bigger your program, the less risk you want to assume, particularly in spring ball, because people can get hurt. So I think it's not going to be a complete closeout for Army, because I honestly think just because they don't get a lot of reps as in like some of the other schools do. So they're going to take full advantage of the spring game, but don't get too excited. I mean, we've seen them open the playbook and throw a lot of passes, and it usually doesn't play out that the same way in the season. But speaking of something that will play out every time, if you need to get a mortgage, we've got the person for you. So if you've listened to the show before, we've got a sponsor here by the name of Craig Oxen. Craig is the area sales manager and mortgage broker at the Money Store. He's a class of 1994. He can lend in all 50 states. He's one of the most successful VA lenders in the company. He gives you super competitive rates. Craig is going to give you the best deal he possibly can. Friends, this whole mortgage process is super confusing. With interest rates moving all over the place, now is not the time to deal with some clown who's just trying to make a buck off of you. Deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some random big box bank or mindless website. This is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and he's helping you get a better deal on a mortgage by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig doesn't charge lender fees for veterans. That's a savings of $1,300. Get that money, friends. If you don't, give it to Ask for Football, because we got some 1099s that we got to pay next season. So feel free to toss that in the mailbox, and we certainly will spend it for you. Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. Link is in the website. Don't try and spell his name. Just go to the Ask for Football website. He's got a business card. Click on it, and you'll be talking to Craig in a few minutes.
Hey, Omar, tell us why we should be excited about Lloyd Benson, because I talked you into coming on the show specifically to talk about your man here.
Yeah, so this is more of a blanket statement for all the slotbacks. Well, first off, your turn's kicks, so you know the explosiveness is there. I will say, though, and I might get attacked by you guys, but for the past couple years, I have been waiting for Army to leverage the speed sweep. And from what I've heard from you, Dano, like that we actually tried it. There's no, I mean, because all this talk we hear about how the edge game is different in the triple option. Well, Navy's been able to figure it out with Eli Heidenreich, or as a lot of draft nicks are calling him, the military Christian McCaffrey. You know, I mean, he's good. I don't know if he's that
good.
He's very good. But excited about Lloyd Benson, of course. But like, honestly, like hearing that the speed sweep is back brought me back to the Ellerson days, in a good way, when we had downtown Malcolm Brown coming around the edge. And then that even opens up the middle. I mean, honestly, like, I think it just works all around with the offense, where I mean, you can open up the middle with the speed sweep. To be honest, like, I don't think I've seen Army use the speed sweep since the 2021 Army Navy game. But that being said, I'd like more round, like, I guess, all around slot back usage. I think Lloyd Benson fills that that kind of like golden era Paul Johnson, like slot back frame, soaking wet, explosive. I just want to see him get the ball more, because it seems every single time he carried the ball last year, everyone just forgot how to block. Like, I just vividly remember buying time against Charlotte, and this man got nuked for like a 6-yard loss against Charlotte in the rain. And I'm like thinking, like, why aren't they blocking for this guy? Like, did he not, like, did he say something? But obviously excited to hear Lloyd Benson is out there getting into the act. But yeah, honestly though, I just hope that the speed sweep is just more of a part of the offense, because honestly, like, the answer was there. Maybe we're just too prideful to even try it.
Yeah. It wasn't even a toss, which a lot of times when Army runs that, they run it as a toss, but this was like the Peyton Manning, you know, speed handoff to the outside. So
the old stretch play. I mean, those are great plays.
They are great plays.
And I think it's just one of those things that, you know, off season, you're always going to have questions and comments, right? The reality of it is you do what works. And if that's what works this season, then you certainly want to leverage it. But definitely interesting thing as we're moving forward, or a little bit deeper into the off season, I'm sure like things will start to shake out and we'll have a better feel of what the offense is going to look like and who's going to be the key playmakers. But speaking of playmakers, let's talk about the Army baseball team. It's springtime, folks. And the Army baseball team, if you have not, like, these dudes have been good for years, you know, and it's funny that, like, we rarely talk about them, you know, but as for baseball is a thing, and guess what? The Army baseball team is on top. So if we would like to dig into that, Dano.
So talk about the baseball team. I feel bad, because I know that the fan base would like for us to cover baseball a little more, and I don't feel like I'm good at writing about it, even though Lynn shoots a lot of baseball. So we do have like a lot of picture coverage on the site. So baseball just clinched a berth in the postseason in April, which is pretty awesome. The team is 22-16 overall, 12-8 in the Patriot League. They beat Navy a couple of weeks ago to win the Star. They just beat Bucknell in took three games out of four. Navy and Bucknell are the two teams ahead of them in the Patriot League right now, with 3 weeks left to play in the regular season. Bucknell is two games ahead. Navy is one game ahead. Army has a three-game set at Annapolis to close the season, and Navy and Bucknell still have to play each other. So it seems pretty likely that if the team can just sort of keep on keeping on, that they'll get either the number one or the number two seed. I think they got a decent chance of winning the Patriot League this year, but we shall see. They got a plebe. God, I wrote about him. What is that kid's name, James? Remind me. You know what I'm talking about?
The pitcher and batter.
Yeah.
I'm blanking.
Oh man. Lynn is going to kill me for hold on. Talk for a second and I'll look it up.
Is it Overbeek? Josiah Overbeek? I just looked dark.
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. Josiah Overbeek, the beast. as they call him. He's a reliever and he's also a hitter. It's crazy. Yeah, Brendan says it's going to be a wild finish. It is going to be a wild finish, absolutely. So I have not watched that much baseball this year. I will definitely watch the Patriot League championships once they start. But that Army-Navy series was electric. The last game in that series was just really, really entertaining. So that's it. Yeah.
Awesome. On to lacrosse. I'm assuming James is going to break this down. I know he's got some points to ponder about the Patriot League tiebreaker. We're not going to get too deep into that. That's probably like a sermon series that you could catch over Sundays.
let me start real quick and tee them up. So if you haven't heard, the women beat Loyola for the first time ever, and they look pretty set to host the Women's Patriot League tourney for the first time ever. First, these Bridget Duffy and Allison Riley.
They will not be hosting the tournament.
Oh, you're right. Navy.
So they were in a three-way tie and Army was going to host it, but then Loyola turned around and lost to freaking Holy Cross or something like that.
What?
Yeah. So now it's going to be a two-way tie between Loyola and Navy, between Navy and Army, and Navy won the head-to-head.
Well, that sucks a lot. Okay. Well, they're going to go in as the number two, which I think still is probably their best seed ever.
Yes. Well, no, they've come in number two because they beat Navy in the regular season before. But the funny thing is it probably helped Loyola to lose to Holy Cross, because now instead of having to travel to West Point to play in the tournament, they get to travel down the road to Annapolis to play as the three seed. So
gross. Well, okay, forget what I just said. I stand by my statement that Bridget Duffy and Allison Riley are having a pretty special season, and that they have a chance, like a legitimate chance to actually win the Patriot League for the first time ever. So we shall see how that goes.
Yeah, Duffy and Evan Plunkett were both first-round selections in the PLL and WLL drafts that happened last week. So that was pretty
That's cool. The least surprising thing ever. The only thing that surprised me about the draft is that Sean Byrne didn't get selected at all, which I don't understand, but whatever.
Yeah.
On the men's side, the men started hot. They with a 6-game winning streak over UMass, then number 18 Rutgers, current number 9 Yale, Michigan, Mercer, and Holy Cross. Then they dropped 3 straight to Lafayette, then number 20 Boston University, and current number 3 North Carolina. But they've since rebounded, beating Lehigh, a much better than average Bucknell team, Navy, and then number 18 Loyola this past weekend. They close out the season Friday at home against Colgate. That's a huge, huge game. So right now, Army is in a three-way tie for first in the Patriot League because they lost to Boston University, who lost to Loyola. So if Army loses Friday, then they'll head into the tourney seated fourth and probably host either Bucknell or Navy. And, you know, just work excited. James and I talked about this yesterday. Assuming Army wins Friday, the worst that they'll do is get a bye in the tourney with Boston University hosting. I think that's probably the most likely scenario.
I think that requires Loyola. If Army wins, they're If Army wins, where the tournament is based on the winner of Loyola Navy. If Loyola, the favorite, wins, then Army will host. If Navy pulls an upset, then it goes to Boston.
Okay. Well, then I guess beat Navy all over again. Anyway, BU plays Holy Cross, then they're definitely going to beat Holy Cross. So, and if the Mids lose, they're not even in the tournament, right? They're totally out of it.
Incorrect. In fact, they need. They need a win to even have a chance, and they'll still need help even if they do win. There's a lot of talk amongst lacrosse people about how much longer Amplo will be there and things like that. So we'll see. That's
interesting. Somebody – we'll get into this in the mailbag, but somebody compared Joe Alberisi to Joe Amplo in the mailbag. So we are rooting for Army over Colgate, obviously. Loyola over Navy to preserve the three-way tie, and also because – beat Navy and Holy Cross, which could pull out a miracle for us, and that would be super convenient.
I wonder what time the games are, because we'll know. I believe the Army game is first. So
because I have to work, I'm not sure I'll get to see it.
Yeah. Let's see.
So while you're looking that up, James, what's different this year? The defense is good. They're always good. Robert Simone has struggled at the faceoff X at times, but he tends to get better in the second half of games. And Army's offense is a full-on offense by committee. Evan Punkett might be the best player in the Patriot League as a midfielder. Obviously, he just went in the first round. We said that. And so, you know, bottom line, if teams slide to him, he distributes the ball to a guy who's open who scores. And if they don't slide to him, he scores himself. And we've seen that all season. And the only team all season long that's looked even moderately ready to cover him is, of course, Boston University. So, hate those guys, but they have a really good team. Army got off to a few slow starts this year, but overall they look way better in April than they did in March, like way better. So they're playing their best lacrosse now, which is not always how I felt at this part of the season with the Army team. So I'm happy about that. James, would you like to rant about the tourney?
Sure. Conference tournaments are stupid for small conferences. They reward mediocre play. If I had it my way, then the Patriot League regular season champion would get the automatic bid. There would be no tournament. And if there was some sort of tie amongst the top of the rankings, there would be a mini tournament to decide. That would be fun, but you know, whatever. The tiebreakers, I don't like them. They're convoluted. I have literally talked to the Patriot League office about it. I, after having talked to them, still don't understand them. I'm waiting for a response on what the tie-breaking scenarios are, because when I talk to the Patriot League office, like the way that you read the Patriot League tie-breaking procedures as a normal human being is not what they actually mean, or at least how they're applied. Who knows? Who cares? They're going to do what they're going to do. I feel like I'm talking to a dude that's run a CYO league for the last 35 years. and you just have to trust that he's getting the tiebreakers right, because I'm exhausted trying to figure them out. The weird thing is Army sort of seems to be in a better spot this year, despite the worst record for an at-large bid. First and foremost, they have to beat Colgate. If they don't beat Colgate, it's AQ or bust. No questions about it. If they do beat Colgate, they're going to have to win in the first round of the Patriot League tournament, or in the semifinals of the Patriot League tournament. But there's a chance they could lose to Boston or Loyola in the finals, and they're probably better situated to get a bye this year a bid this year than they were last year, which makes no sense for a team that has two extra losses. But
that is crazy. We were talking about this before, and college lacrosse has achieved what college football has set out to do for a while now, which is to make your conference more important than your regular season. And I hate that. And it's just not great.
The question that I pose to lacrosse people who love college lacrosse and are fans of these power conference teams is, do you know who won? Like, I could tell you, you know, Army's only been in the conference for 2 years in the American, but I'm pretty sure if you gave me a list of every game, I could tell you the result for the last 2 years. Going back even further, like, you could probably give me the schedule for the last 5 or 6 years of Army football, maybe even longer, and I could tell you who won every game, because the regular season matters.
Yeah.
No Syracuse lacrosse fan knows who the hell won the Syracuse UNC regular season lacrosse game for the last 5 years, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. You win a couple, the way they schedule, they get a couple of games against each of the other conferences every year. And then, yeah, a couple easy games against Northeast Conference schools or something like that. And by the end of the year, as long as you're a 500 school, you're in the mix. And so the regular season doesn't matter. Maybe your conference championship matters if there's like a bubble team that ends up going on a streak and winning, like Michigan has a couple times a few years back, where they were sort of a bubble team, bubble out, and they ended up winning the Big Ten and getting themselves an automatic bid. Okay, yeah, that matters. But other than that, it just doesn't matter. You're just going through the motions of the regular season. It's absolutely meaningless. And people get up in arms like, we need to fire this head coach because he lost this regular season game against take your pick. Who cares? He's going, like, people were screaming about Gary Gate at Syracuse losing a game earlier this year, like they wanted to fire him. dude, he's going to be a four seed in the NCAA tournament. Like,
yeah.
And that's with them losing a semifinal game in the ACC Invitational. Like, it's exhausting to listen to lacrosse fans enjoy lacrosse sometimes. But that being said,
Twitter is not a real place, James.
I wish it were limited to Twitter. I'd have a lot easier time. I don't know. The Army needs a few things to help them with an at-large case. The biggest of which is that they want to be compared with Yale because they own the head-to-head. So there are really only two ways. The committee will basically take the top RPI teams no matter what, unless there's a way to justify jumping people in RPI because of performance, like, in other words, wins against the top, what they call them, groupings. So top 5, top 10, top 15, and top 20 RPI teams. So if you have a lot of wins against good RPI teams, that'll justify an RPI jump. And then the second is if you have a head-to-head. So if Army ends up in a comparison group on the bubble with Yale, that will help them. If they end up in a comparison group with teams they haven't played, those teams they haven't played might even be worse in RPI than they are. But because they play so many, you know, they'll play 8 games against top 10 teams or 8 games against top 15 teams and win 2 of them, and one of them's a top 10, and Army doesn't have that on their resume. And so that will allow them to jump Army in the RPI, or at the very least prevent Army from jumping them in the RPI. So the real key is Army getting compared to Yale. Even though Yale has the best wins, Harvard may have better wins than Yale, but if Army's in a comparison group with Harvard and Yale, Yale beat Harvard and Army beat Yale. So I could see a situation where the committee says, Army beat Yale, Yale beat Harvard. We got to pick two of them. Harvard's out. So that's what we're hoping for. I know there were a lot of questions in the first that we solicited from the first E club. I don't know if you want to start rattling those off. I'll answer them the best I can.
We can move on here. I know you guys love it. So
you've got mail.
Welcome to Creepy Dano's Sounder, man. Like, always makes my skin crawl, but hey, whatever. It's part of the show now. It's going to stay forever. So let's go to the mailbag. Dave Doyle asks, maybe some discussion of where Joe Alberisi stands versus his peers. And I mean, this goes right back into the topic of lacrosse, but, is he about to outlast another coach? Anyone remember Rick Stoll or his mirror institution similar to similar resources and lacks with Joe Amplo in his 7 seasons without a league champion or any kind of even a whiff of NCAA with 4 straight losses to Army as the cherry on top? Loving lacks can be frustrating at time, but looking at Navy with their best finish under Amplo, Patriot League 3rd place, you have to smile in satisfaction that there's some schadenfreude.
I would just say that if Amplo and Navy part ways on Friday, which there's a possibility of, I don't want to get too deep into other people's jobs. But I think that people think it's at least talked about that relationship ends Friday. If that's the case, if Navy misses the Patriot League tournament, and that's the case, I mean, Navy just announced groundbreaking on like a $20-something million lacrosse center and stuff like that. Like, they're clearly invested in making lacrosse an important part of the academy. There are a lot of big names from power conference teams that I think would be very interested in the Navy job, especially paired with the money they're investing in the lacrosse center. And you have a lot of old guard lacrosse guys, maybe one particular guy who's won a couple of national championships in the same metropolitan area who might like the idea of running a lacrosse program where the school is invested and he doesn't have to deal with NIL. So we'll see. I mean, I sort of like having Amplo there because we've had success against him. So I would say there are probably 10-ish jobs in college lacrosse that you would, maybe take their phone call if you're Joe Alberisi.
I don't think that's going to occur. This is not what I've heard.
No, I'm not saying he would go. I'm just saying there's 10 jobs where you pick up the phone.
Okay.
And you see what they're offering. I know his daughter's there now playing for the women's team and there's plenty of reasons to stay and so on and so forth, but he's from New York. But there's about 10 clear cut jobs above the rest. And of the jobs that aren't top tier jobs, you have maybe some of your mid tier Ivies. So Harvard, Yale, and then I would throw in there the Richmonds, the Georgetowns, the Army, the Navies, the Loyolas, things like schools like that that are heavily invested in lacrosse, but might not be from, Harvard and Yale from a Big Three program. You could also throw programs in there like Rutgers in Michigan, where, maybe they're not top tier, but they're big programs and big conferences. So it's sort of hard to define him as one of his peer, like what is his peer group? Because I wouldn't call most of the Patriot League his peer group. He's sort of one of the three jobs in the Patriot League that you can get fired from, in my opinion. But it's hard to compare him to a power conference team that can schedule their way into an NCAA tournament. Like, it's hard to compare him to the Michigan job or the Yale job or something like that. So I would say as a measure of success amongst mid-major head coaches, he's about as good as anybody over the length that he's coached.
Yeah.
There might be some guys like Dan Camotti down at Richmond who have had more success in recent years, have had, won some games against big time programs, so on and so forth. And that's a school that is, a freaking A-10 school. Like, they shouldn't even be competing with these ACC schools, and they do. So maybe recent years, there's been more successful head coaches, but he's about as good as it gets. I don't think you can really ask for much more if you're a fan of one of these tier two head coaching jobs, I think.
So one thing that I will say is that when I first started paying attention to the sport was probably like 2016, 2017. The Army, they just gave season ticket holders tickets to the Army Navy game. Like, you're a football season ticket holder, come check out lacrosse. I took both my kids. We had a blast. I've been a fan ever since. And that was like 2017, I think was probably that year, maybe 2016. Anyway, at that point, Loyola was by far and away the best team in the Patriot League, and they had owned the Patriot League forever, and Army was lucky to get a win against Navy. And here we are, 7-8 years later, Army, they don't own the Patriot League, but they've been the best team in the Patriot League, mostly absent a loss here or there in the Patriot League tournament pretty consistently. And we've seen them go to the NCAA tournament a couple of times. Like, it is, I'll agree with Dave that it's been frustrating, especially last year when they had a team that really should have gone further than they went, and they couldn't quite, make that happen. But man, some of that is on the players. You got to play your best in the biggest spots.
And some of that's dumb luck too, right? Like, they're in a better position to get an at-large this year. So you got to remember that RPI is a rating, but your RPI ranking is just where you stack up. So for whatever reason, despite them having a lower rating this year, right, the other teams around them also have lower ratings. And so they just happen to be in a different spot as far as going to get that at-large. But that doesn't mean it'll happen. There's a lot of lacrosse left to play.
Yeah.
And the RPI computers like to play funny games in the last 24 hours before the selection show. So, who knows? But
It really is the system that college football wishes that they have, because there's so many dials and levers, it feels like, that they just...
Well, I sort of respect what D3 is doing, which is they have NPI, which is a modified RPI that all the dials get predetermined before the season. And then the committee doesn't pick teams. Like, the top X number of at-large teams in NPI go to the tournament. And the committee just decides the matchups. That's it.
So One thing I'd like to close on, and we can move on after this, is, like I said, this team is playing better lacrosse now than I can remember them playing at this point in the season in the past couple of years. Like, they actually look like they're peaking at the right time, which is not what we saw last year at all. So I am excited about that.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think Colgate's going to be a big tell. Colgate's one of these weird teams that, where, you know, they have a loss to Bucknell that's kind of anchoring them down as far as tiebreakers go. But then they also have a win over Boston, which is bringing, you know, anchoring Boston back. I mean, Boston, I think, would have the one seed pretty much clinched at this point, or almost clinched. You know, take a win over Holy Cross, but they lost to Colgate. So we'll see what happens. I have the schedule up. So Army Colgate's at 6 o'clock at Mikey. Boston Holy Cross kicks off at the same time. So assuming Boston takes care of business, which I'm guessing they will, the game to watch at 6 o'clock is Colgate Army. At around halftime of that game, Loyola at Navy is going to start. Loyola should take care of business there. We'll see. But we'll get an idea of how Army Colgate, the two big games are Army Colgate and Loyola Navy.
All right. So with West Point, Dave asked about the at-large bid and how weird it is to have the inside track. I feel like we beat that one to death.
I don't think it's an inside track. Let's be clear. They just have a better
opportunity.
Yeah.
All right. So James Pagano says, as for football, this being the As for Football show, what positions are most worrisome going into 2026? Rob, you've been waiting on this one all show.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, from my perspective, again, it's defense. Like, we had transfers a couple of years ago, and then we had two big graduations in the linebacking core. So that's going to be impact. But, you know, like I said, we always ask this question at the end of the season, hey, who's going to be Captain America? We had two of them this year, right? So between, you know, the two middle linebackers that we had, between Fortner and Thomas, right? So between those two guys, they're pretty marquee players, and they complemented each other very, very well. So we're hoping for something similar to that next year, just based off of the talent that's available. And again, you know, defensive lines and defensive backs, those are always question marks with Army, because again, typically Army recruits very, very well with speed, but not so much with size in the defensive secondary. So, you know, Colin Madison probably was the anomaly of the last couple of seasons, just a big dude in the backfield. But the defensive backfield is always going to be a question mark, not because of anything other than like, hey, look, if I got a guy that's, you know, 5'11 and super athletic trying to cover down a 6'3" wide receiver, it's always going to be an issue. And, you know, so long as he has some help over the top, it should be okay. And of course, defensive line wise, defensive line is solid, but again, it's the true measure of how well Army is going to do both offensively and defensively next year is if people can stay healthy. I mean, I think towards the stretch of the year last year, people were not healthy, and that cost us some trouble. And, you know, unlike other teams, guys played every game. You know, Kel Helms probably could have taken a knee later on in the season, like some other players did, you know, and just said, hey, look, you know, I'm not feeling it because it's a big game. I could get hurt. But I think the reality of it is like, you want guys that are in there, you know, and staying healthy is the way to go, right? I think that's legitimately the best thing for the team defensively. Defense is typically good. It'll be the first year without Nate Woody. So expect changes, right? I think the defense may change a little bit. That's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, we'll see. I mean, that is the biggest question mark just because of the offseason moves as well. But I know James has a favorite thing, but I'm going to go into our last commercial. There is a reason why you do not need another workout. You need a coach who is an expert in fitness and fitness improvement protocols, but more importantly, someone who survived the total physical mental collapse of themselves and then pulled themselves from the fire and rebuilt themselves even stronger and better. Greg Anicelli is a graduate of the class of 97, U.S. Army veteran, successful enterprise software sales executive, an IFBB pro bodybuilder, NCI certified fitness coach, and now the founders of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing everything, his marriage, his identity, his physical and mental health, Greg completely rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith faith, discipline, and elite level training. At 50 years old, he won the overall classic physique bodybuilding championship at the NPC Masters in Las Vegas.
He earned national championship. He won the Natty.
Yes. And he's natty with his IBF pro card, providing that it's never too late to become the warrior that you were meant to be. Today, Greg's mission is to coach men. And believe it or not, he just recently added women's coaching onto his website as well. So he's coaching men and women that are interested in just changing, stopping the struggle, the drift and decline, and resurrect themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually with his online coaching program. If you're ready to reclaim your strength, your confidence, and your warrior ethos and identity, apply now at Warriors Physique Fitness. Start writing your comeback story. As a special note, Greg is offering active duty military veterans, first responders, a 15% discount off of their first 16-week transformation fee. AFF First Tee Club members and West Point grads get a massive 30% discount on that same initial 16-week fee. So, like all of our sponsors, Greg has a business card on the on our website. Don't try and spell Inicelli. If you do, you will win the spelling bee, and you're probably well on your way to capitalize on your physical fitness anyway. But there's a business card on the Ask for Football website. Just click on it, and you can see it. So, James, you said you have a favorite thing. You have a show and tell for the end of the show. We'd love to see it.
All right, so one of the four of us are not like the other. And it has to do with our cadet activities. You guys have any guesses?
Who was expecting a quiz at the end of the show?
I'll just say this while the self-absorbed man in your lower right corner was off swimming laps in the pool. The other three of us were shaping our craft in the radio booths of WKDT. So I have here, now fully refurbished, an original WKDT on air sign.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Aren't you guys getting all nostalgic? Yeah. I see a tear in Omar's eye.
That's how Omar and I met.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, cool. A sports show in WKDT.
There you go.
Well, that's very good. I love it. I love it. That's awesome.
Yes. So, hey, for the crew here at the Ask for Football Army Football Show, or Ask for Lax, we're closing out. Hey, there are games coming up this week. Make sure that you're watching. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Omar, the Burger Popper, calling out of Oklahoma. James is in Oklahoma as well. And Dano Icabeso calling to you out of coastal Connecticut. Hey, it's always our great pleasure to bring in these shows. We had 153 of you guys show up today. This one is not behind the paywall because it's not in season. If you want more in-season coverage, please consider joining the Patreon and get a lot more interviews, articles, and you get access to Lynn's photo galleries. And Lynn takes a lot of pictures. So if you want to see what it's like to at least experience a game visually, you should sign up and check out the Patreon. There's also,
and we got bills to pay. We got to up the size of the server, man. That happened today. So
yeah,
we got bills to pay. Join us on Patreon. That's not a joke.
Yeah. As for football grew last year, we're planning to grow again this year. And guess what? We're giving you more coverage. I actually did a face-to-face with Jocelyn this weekend because she was at the Founders Day. There's an article coming up soon on the Ask for Football website too. So if you are a grad and you don't go, you probably should. If you're not a grad and you can get somebody to invite you, you should go. Right. And the reason why I tell you that is because when you think about it, there's only 55,000 living graduates from our esteemed institution at any one time. So if you go there, you actually may get to meet, you will actually meet somebody that went to West Point and not, you know, somebody that you haven't, because I know that there's people that have spent, you know, multiple years in the military and never served with a classmate.
Wow.
You know, and it's just because it's just a desperation, tyranny of distance, right? There may be one or two, or it's like in your first assignment coming out of lieutenants, but as you starburst as captains coming out of the career course, you go in different places and then you may not see, you know, those guys for another 10 or 15 years, or in my case, running into people as we're transitioning from Shannon, Ireland, coming to or from Iraq or Afghanistan during the global war on terrorism. So you just never know when you're going to run into a classmate, but I can assure you that you will at least run into one person that you know if you go to Founders Day every year. So I highly encourage you guys to check that out.
And it's up now. That one's up now. I put it up before the show, right before the show. So go to Ask Football right now and read that.
Sweet. All right. And without further ado, we shall let you go. And as always, beat Navy.
Beat Colgate.
Beat them all.
Thanks for listening to this week's Ask for Football Army Football Show. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into Army football. Remember, whether you're cheering in the stands or following along from home, get all your updates on the Army football team at askforfootball.com. And as a special thanks, we would like to thank our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you need. Visit jocelynbradley.com for all your real estate needs. Don't forget, subscribe, leave us a review, and follow us on social media for all the latest updates. Until next time, go Army, beat Navy!